When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You can just hear the man on the synthesizer.
It's just That's a different song.
That's a mashup I listened to.
This is a longer intro than I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember this. Like, I feel like when I loaded up Deus Ex, it's just like it starts with this part. Sorry.
It's good. It's fucking good.
Can you imagine being in a club and then just boom?
That just drops. Club goes wild.
It absolutely would.
Yeah, it absolutely would.
And they're like, this is from a 1990s video game.
Deus Ex. Woo! Happy holidays, everybody. We are here, Waypoint Radio, to celebrate the holidays, to celebrate time away from the office, and to talk about some of our favorite games of the year and the decade. Today, we are going to talk about the immersive sims of the 2010s, where the immersive sim is at today. And you've already heard her voice. We couldn't do it without Fanbyte's own Danielle Rienda. Welcome back to Waypoint Radio. Also joining me here.
Thank you, guys. I've missed you so much.
I missed you
especially,
too.
Especially, I'm very glad that you are, honored the clause in my contract, my life contract, that says when people talk about immersive sims, I have to be there. So
you have to at least have the option.
Thank
I'm glad it lined up. Also here, Patrick Klepek, Rob Zachney, Carter Contreras.
Yo.
We are here to talk about immersive sims. There is, Rob, you kind of put this question to us like moments before we
started. Is that we're starting? Or are you just laying out?
I'm laying out.
Okay.
You know what? Let's lay out.
Yeah. You can do a setup.
I forgot about this. So the setup, as again, contractually obliged, is that there is a time limit on many of these podcasts this week. For this one, there's a 30 minute, once we start talking about
there
the
will be
topic,
a timer that goes off.
A timer will go off.
Kato will start playing a Dishonored sound effect video. The closest we can get to the blink sound
blink
effect.
Sound effect to kick things off.
Shit, I gotta pull that back up.
You better get it ready. And then we'll talk about immersive sims for 30 minutes and what the state is. Can I say what an immersive sim is without...
No, because I think that's part of Rob's question.
You're right, it is. So we can't do that.
Brooklyn definition? Is that what this is?
We're gonna figure out.
All right, so Kato, are you...
are you ready to get...
If he's ready to start the timer, then...
Yeah.
All right, so we have 15 minutes to answer this question.
At the most. We're going to not get to the talking
about
what
these
are.
Yeah, I would say that the framing is maybe, I would give you 10 minutes.
Oh, you'll give me?
Ready?
Wow. I'm just trying to, you want to make sure you talk about the games you like.
Count us in.
3, 2, 1, immerse.
Where's the sound effect?
Oh, right.
All right, we blinked. I just blinked into an immersive sim. Rob was asking.
There it is.
In 2019, what do we mean when we say immersive sim? What do we talk about when we talk about immersive sims? Famous short story collection. What do we mean? You raised is Hitman 2016 an immersive sim?
Right, because it checks a lot of the boxes, right? Like it's systemic as hell. It's about watching sort of a clockwork world operate and learn its workings. And then how you can subvert them or bend them to your will. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like an immersive sim.
I don't read a single email.
I don't hack into a terminal.
I might hack into a terminal, but not hack into a terminal.
Yeah.
Not like typing.
Is the first thing you pick up a wrench?
It might be in Hitman. I don't know. Danielle, do you think Hitman is an immersive sim?
I actually think it is.
Okay.
And I would posit that any game with a sufficiently advanced physics engine / systems that interact with both player verbs and mechanics and level design is, in fact, an immersive sim. And I think Breath of the Wild fits these criteria.
Is Death Stranding an immersive sim? I also think Breath of the Wild, I think Breath of the Wild fits those criteria. I don't know if
Death Stranding is an interesting question, because I think Death Stranding definitely feels like it's part of the walking sim lineage.
Yes.
But the walking sim is intertwined with the immersive sim. Like, if we, like, there's a lot of games you can view as foundational to, like, walking simulators, right? But one of the major works, you know, Gone Home is made by, made by Fulbright, a bunch of people with lots of immersive sim chops and experience. And so, like, to a degree, a lot of what the walking sim became, and a lot of what maybe the future of immersive sims looks like, is walking sims.
Shit.
Because the genre
My mind just expanded upon this point. I've never thought about it this
real
way.
Galaxy,
I will say the thing is there are a lot of quote unquote walking sims that don't do anything the immersive sims do in terms of systemic interaction. They're immersive in other ways in terms of environmental design.
Reading emails.
Right. Sometimes.
Immersive storytelling. Walks, you might say.
Immersive walks. Can I get the definition you just said one more time, Danielle, just so I get it all in my head?
This is the thing I wrote in my notebook 5 minutes ago.
Great.
If a game has a sufficiently advanced physics engine / the ability to really kind of marry mechanics and lots of options and lots of player verbs with the level design itself, then it becomes an immersive sim.
Austin's doing a lot of hand motions.
I'm doing lots of hand motions.
The only part I worry
about it's physics engine / lots of verbs. So I think both of those things are both like
you don't
immersive.
Need a physics engine. You could do it.
Right.
You could have a. Could you have a 2D sprite based immersive sim? Like a Final Fantasy immersive sim.
I guess so. I mean, isn't it really the physics? Hello.
Hi, dog.
Sorry about that.
No.
You're all good. Yeah. I was immersed in your dog's.
Yeah.
He's upset. Yeah.
The physics allow for a lot of verbs by reality, like by the consequences of the physics,
Right. The reason I'm asking this is because, like, is it an immersive sim if – can you have a text-based immersive sim? Can I be playing an immersive sim on my phone or through a text parser?
I feel like you could, but when we're talking about immersive,
I know.
I know what you're saying.
I'm trying to find edge cases to figure out what.
Because at what point is that?
Like,
just,
for me, Death Stranding is the one that is like it fits everything that Danielle just said. We wouldn't traditionally call it an immersive sim, but it does also fit into that walking sim overlap, which, as Rob just posited, maybe that the future of the immersive sim.
At what point is that just an adventure game?
Right.
I mean, video game genres are bullshit, but.
Yes.
At some point, you're just like, oh, this is an adventure game.
I'm not interested what is an adventure game. I'm interested in why we want to make the distinction between Dishonored and Zelda traditionally. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Breath of the Wild, like you said, Danielle, you feel like Breath of the Wild fits in this.
I think it crosses into the line there. I think it is sufficiently broad and deep by both sort of versions of my definition that it crosses into that line. I also think it's a platformer, but that's another discussion.
What? No, that Danielle has so many fucking Breath of the Wild thoughts. Like,
Danielle was with me.
Whatever, you go to Fanbyte, and it's like, oh, I just got to play Breath of the Wild.
My second favorite game of 2017 after
because
Prey.
Because number one was Prey. So your favorite were two different immersive sims.
Is
and three was Death of the Outsider. So
okay, wow.
Is a stealth option intrinsic to immersive sims?
Great question. See, I don't think it is, but I do think once a stealth option appears, it moves much closer into that Venn overlap of like, that's an immersive sim.
Right.
But is that a historical quality, or is that like, do you know what I mean? Or is that intrinsic? Is it the fact, do we think that because lots of immersive sims have offered stealth options, and so in our
heads, they're all building off a similar template.
Right, exactly. But you could have the immersive sim. Okay, here's actually a genuine, real-ass question. Do you know people who play like Arma mods or who role-play in GTA
online
and who are like interacting with systems that have to do with like checking in for your job for the day?
There are people who are like traffic cops.
Yeah, exactly. Is that an immersive sim?
That's role-play.
No, but a lot of those things are now systemically represented also through mods in the games.
Is it all in the game, Or that's is what, it outside of the game? They schedule outside of the game.
Well, it's like the game responding to what players are doing. It's like it starts as a role play. Then is it still role playing in the game?
If you look at some of the, like the Arma mods, which Arma is already in a weird place as a like a combat sim that does a lot of the physics based interaction and blah 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 blah. But when you look at some of the like the real life Arma sim stuff, where like you have a checking account, you are like you have to go fill your car up with gas. Is DayZ an immersive sim?
No.
Why? It certainly is stealth.
I think there's so yeah. As we were having this conversation, I was starting to think: is part of this a power fantasy? Like inherent to like even the narrative ones, the most walking simulator ass ones. The power fantasy is you are the ghost who journeys through the space and learns all its secrets and everything about the people.
Yeah, there's a lot of voyeurism takes around Gone Home back when the game came out.
And then in a lot of your classic immersive sims, even though the world is simulated, there are people doing menial jobs in that world. There's people, you know, who are traffic cops, guards, etc. You aren't like them. You know they're in a fucking video game. And you, like part of the fantasy is you are the person who's going to – you enter this world. You are a stranger to it. It is unfamiliar to you. But you are going to impose mastery and understanding on it. Mm. And I think even though I tend to be really skeptical of power fantasy shit, like is power fantasy an inherent part of what makes us say like, ah, that there? That's an immersive sim.
Is a more charitable version, manipulation as opposed to power fantasy, right? Like, so I mean, I guess it's power fantasy in in the sense of power fantasy. But is it power for power's sake, or more just like it's fun to like manipulate a system?
Yeah, I don't know, Danielle. What do you think?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I'm thinking about this now, and now I'm thinking Control might be an immersive sim. actually, it might be. But yeah, I do actually think that. I think power and manipulation and also just a sense of knowledge as well. Like you go into these games maybe not knowing everything you can do. And every immersive sim I can think of right now, you get more powerful and you learn more about the world. And that mastery is sort of transferred through that kind of knowledge. Like, oh, now I have a power and that's explicit, or, oh, now I know that I can move boxes and pray with my strength attribute or whatever, or, oh, now I know I can blow things up in this way. It's like that kind of, the more you know, like it's a power fantasy in terms of wisdom as well as sort of like brute strength through the game mechanics.
I mean, you've been playing Outer Wilds, which is literally a game in which you never get a mechanical upgrade, but you get lots of new understandings of the world that can help you get to different places or understand how you like the upgrade tree in that game is literally just knowledge. Do you think that falls into the same space?
I do. It's also on my list in my notebook. Oh, it's absolutely. Is this also? It also has a really advanced physics engine.
No, it does. But again, no combat, no stealth. Ah, there's stealth in that game. Actually, I take it back. There's stealth in that game.
Kinda.
No, there absolutely is. Tangled.
I have not finished. I've like 40 hours in, but I haven't finished it. Okay. So
have you gone to Tangled Tangled Bramble yet?
What
it's called?
Dark Bramble. Been there a few times.
There's stealth there. There's stuff you don't want to see you there. So that's stealth. Anyway.
That's a good
point. Almost 10 minutes in this definition discussion. I don't want to cut you guys off.
No, I think you're right. I think we don't have a definition. We're not going to get to a definition.
But also the messiness is inherent to it, right?
Well, I think there's the messiness that's inherent to it, but I think also it's going to become more complicated to define what immersive sim is because in some ways I think this was the last decade of the immersive sim as we've known it.
Mm-hmm. Under the like System Shock Deus Ex template, which is essentially the lineage that we're talking about.
I think that's impossible to say. I'm going to take the same approach I said back and then, when we and then had
announced
the last,
BioShock 3 next year, which they're going to.
Well, like, and we know System Shock 3 is in development. Right. I don't have a lot of faith in that project, if I'm honest, because of some of the stuff that we've seen so far. But I think it's going to be, quote unquote, one of those. And I think a lot of these things are going to, you know, as Hegel said, history, events repeat. First is as tragedy, then as what he left out was first as tragedy, then as farce. I think we might get another run of the immersive sim like renaissance that we had. I think we've had a great decade of immersive sims.
Prey sort of capped it off.
When I look forward and I look at what like the next Blendo Games joint is going to be a proc gen immersive sim game. I think we're going to continue to see people who like this style of game experiment with it. What I think the part that I'm sympathetic for here is like as we know it, because I think we're going to continue to see blurring, we're going to continue to see overlapping, we're going to continue to see kind of like things shifting to and fro, and like the immersive sim element blending out into other genre, etc. But I also think we're just going to see more people make immersive sims. I do think BioShock 3 is going to get announced in the next 3 years.
But so what I mean by but I think BioShock is an exception to the rule in the sense that I think immersive sims will just become part of games, but it'll be less the template that we're used to.
That is, I think, what Rob is suggesting.
And that's what Rob is suggesting. Mm. BioShock, a game like BioShock won't be like that. It'll be more of the old template, but it's because the commercial viability of the old template has essentially died out. Prey being mostly a bomb despite being an exceptional game more or less suggests that, like, that version ran its commercial course. Doesn't mean Elements won't go into other things.
You said the same thing. Like, I'm very wary of suggesting that a genre dies out because it hasn't been in the spotlight for a year or two.
I just mean
history
it's going to
so
be
so long,
but it's going to be a break in that we were getting regular versions of these games for a long time, and it does feel like when someone like Arcane is even saying, like, time to, like...
Yeah, totally.
The ones that, whatever they do next, maybe it is a version of what we're talking about of, like, you know, where do you take the DNA of the immersive sim, or this version of it, and, like, where does it go from here? But, yeah, you're also right that, yeah,
just like,
you give it 5 years, and then it's
so
like,
easy,
it's back!
It's just so easy to look back in time and be like, oh, wow, there used to be so many immersive sims. Thief and Deus Ex and Ultima Underworld. And, like, yeah, some of those games... That's you're taking 30 years of history and remembering it as if it happened all at once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's
That's
always
fair.
Been gaps.
That's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, I think we should talk about.
There's a big gap between System Shock 2 and BioShock, wasn't there? Like pretty.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh,
and that
oh
was
yeah.
Kind
absolutely.
Of that its own it's like, lineage in certain ways. Like there was the Thief lineage into Dishonored.
Yeah, totally. But
and then
in between
the System Shock lineage into BioShock, so there was like a almost 10. 8 year maybe gap between those two. So.
Again, but except that Thief 2, Deus Ex, Arx Fatalis all come out in that space. And then so do the Elder Scrolls, like Morrowind, which fits into the space for me in terms of like as a clear expansion on
that
stuff.
Yeah, I just mean that particular line of the lineage. Like the different little web of
Oh, you mean the high immersive sim.
Ah, okay, here we go. We're not doing this. But I think that I get why people who need to define things end up going down that route, because otherwise you lose your mind trying to figure out what is the one true thing. Can we talk about the ones that came out?
Let's take a break.
Oh, you're right. Take a break. When we come back,
we still got a minute and 50.
You can add that on.
Pause it. That's our minute 50. Add that to the second half.
Damn, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about. Yeah, you got it. That's it. We'll be right back.
What the hell was that?
That's the whoosh.
Whoosh.
That's the whoosh.
Whoosh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. You heard the sound, a sound from Dishonored, which was one of, still playing, Kato. Still, okay. I'm doing a lot of teleporting around. That's what it sounds like.
That's what you do in that game.
It's true. We should talk about the immersive sims of the 2010s, because there were a bunch of them. Like, I think we did all have throughout the decade a moment of like, oh, is this it? Is this going to be the last one? And instead, we got like a bunch of really good ones, even by the most traditional of definitions, and also some that were kind of mediocre. Danielle, I turn to you as our immersive sim correspondent, our expert consultant. What's your favorite of the immersive sims this decade? I think I know, but I'd like to hear it from your lips.
I mean, you know what it is. I will just start with saying that 2010. We're starting with 2010, right?
Yes.
Okay. I will just point out that 2010 started with a very good immersive sim, and that was BioShock 2, which is the best of the BioShocks. Anyway, you know what my favorite one is, of course. You know that it's Prey.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because I never shut up about that game from the moment I started playing it, we're still talking about it. I'm still talking about it. I genuinely think that Prey is the pinnacle of the genre as it stands right now. I think it has wonderful storytelling and interesting characters and a fascinating world. That's all like really great kind of window dressing that helps you get completely in the mindset of a really sort of hyper-powered person. I think the level design is incredible. I think it is multi-layered. There's a lot of verticality. And there's also so many things you can do in this game. And that's one of the things for me that kind of sets it apart from other immersive sims. I think a lot of immersive sims, the Deus Ex games, for example, you kind of have a few distinct paths through an area. You can do hacking, you can do stealth, you can shoot things, whatever. And that is simplifying things to a degree. But in Prey, you can do, you know, 27 things for every one thing you could do in a different type of game. You can do the hacking, you can do the stealth, you can do the sort of other stuff, but you can also do platforming. You can create your own way around the entire world by just making glue gun, you know, globs and sort of climb those and go anywhere. You can use explosives to basically beat the entire game and open doors and go places you shouldn't be able to go to. And there are sort of non-traditional powers. They're the kind of alien powers. So it is a really, really true sandbox. And, you know, we haven't sort of used that term for a while. Sandbox games used to mean like basically a GTA clone, right? It was just like, oh, an open world game. But this felt to me like a genuine sandbox with interesting interactions, and all of them were pleasurable, right? They were really, really fun to actually find out these other weird things that you could do. And like experimenting in that game was wonderful. I know a lot of folks don't love the ending. I like the ending, but I also was so overpowered that, you know, that was a thing. But I also do point towards Moon Crash as the ultimate kind of expression of the immersive sim as sandbox. And that it doesn't strip away story. There's still story elements. This is very much still a story-based game, even in its sort of sandbox incarnation. But that was like, what if we change the variables on you 27 times? Deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? Which is great and fun and kind of the reason I love this genre.
I'm curious, do you think that game, and just for everybody at the table, was that game's commercial kind of like struggle the thing that made you start to think like, ooh, is there just not the audience for it anymore?
Well, also Dishonored 2 had not performed to their expectations. Or my understanding is Dishonored 2 performed pretty similarly to Dishonored 1, but the problem was they're hoping to see a growth.
Yeah.
It Trubisky'd. Though the tale is yet unwritten.
Well, if you want to say that, if you want to compare a Dishonored to Trubisky, Death of the Outsider was a wonderful conclusion to
it ends
Dishonored in a way that you feel complete and whole. And
yeah, this is why I wish I had a stronger personal definition, because like Death of the Outsider is my favorite traditional like immersive sim inside of what we think of first person stealth, like all the kind of like secondary characteristics that tend towards immersive sim, you know, again, stealth, optional combat, blah, blah, blah. Probably Death of the Outsider. Such a great experience. Yep. Very tight. Some really cool levels. I think Billy Lurk is a fantastic character. A great little like wrap up to one of the major plots inside of the overall Dishonored series.
It like ends up landing the mythology in a way that I never thought they would.
100%.
Like, I was like, ah, this is all bullshit. Who cares? it's fun bullshit, but.
But it is, for me, Hitman is the one that is my personal favorite of the games that are in that kind of broader umbrella, because of the degree of systemic interaction, but also because of the ways in which the non-main story stuff starts to play around both in what it asks of you and then what it lets you build for other players, because you just like the contracts building stuff where you as a player can get into that world, think about it as a designer, and start to put together challenges for other players, which encourage them to start playing in different ways. It's also just like, in terms of one of the things we didn't talk about is like a defining feature of the immersive sim, but I think was very important, especially in the 90s when the genre is really
emerging. Read the Wikipedia definition for you?
Yeah.
An immersive simulation is a video game genre that emphasizes player choice. Its core defining trait, this is like very declarative language, is the use of simulated systems that respond to a variety of player actions, which, combined with a comparatively broad array of player abilities, allow the game to support varied and creative solutions to problems as well as emergent gameplay beyond what has been explicitly designed by the developer. The definition is not to be confused with game systems which allow player choice in a confined sense, or systems which allow players to easily escape consequences of their choices.
No citation.
Immersive sims, by definition, allow for multiple approaches.
It's
I just slap, maybe laugh.
Yeah, it's not There's nothing there that's like hard wrong, but it's not.
I just like that by definition.
Yeah.
It says who?
It says you. Says your definition.
This is last person who wrote. Edited yeah, this Wikipedia exactly. page.
Danielle, did you
Tim
edit this?
Wikipedia yeah. says. Yeah.
But the thing that we don't talk about a lot with Immersive Sims, but I think was very true in the 90s when these games started coming out, is they had a real sense of place and a sense of inhabitants. We talked the other day about this episode's not out yet, but in the future episode this week, probably.
Maybe.
We're
not sure of the timeline
here. We don't know yet. is that the... one of the things that, God, what was the game that we were talking about? It wasn't Shenmue. It was before Shenmue. It was pre
Resident Evil 1.
Resident Evil 2. No. Resident Evil 2 was a game that let you see a city, an American yeah. city in modern setting, which when that game came out was not a thing you just got to see a lot. So even in disrepair, it was like, whoa, this space feels like a real place to me. Like this, I could see the police station downtown. That
it's
exists.
Not a fantasy castle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or dragons.
And so one of the things that I think one of the things that Immersive Sims did specifically was like, there are people walking around the city streets. There are people in the bar in Deus Ex hanging out and like talking to me. There are people in the city streets of Thief who are going about their business. Now, going about their business was like literally walking a patrol route effectively,
but
over and over
for
again.
For
the time, there was a sense of inhabitants of a place that had people in it. Hitman does that better than any other game in the abstract or in the like the zoom out sense. Yeah. Not in the like, hey, I can go read someone's personal email and learn that they're in a breakup right now, which Prey obviously and the kind of Dishonored yeah. Deus Ex stuff
well.
Does so much better because that's the zoom in. But they're like, whoa, I'm in Sapienza. People are going about their time in this kind of southern Italian villa and adjoining kind of little curvy city. It's fantastic. And like that is a huge part of it for me because then one of the systems that gets introduced is how do you deal with people? How do you deal with masses? How do you deal with a bunch of people at once? And how do you blend into that crowd? How does that crowd overwhelm you? How does that crowd react to whatever you do? For me, Hitman just ends up being such a source of joy, both in my playing it and in the watching of other people play it, which is the other big change from past decades, when you think about the immersive sim, is Twitch exists. And I think that if there's going to be something that changes what immersive sims look like, Twitch existing is the actual bigger one. You go back and listen to someone like, you know, we had a talk with Sean Vanneman 3 years ago at a PAX. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we were talking about immersive sims, we were talking about walking simulators, we were talking about what made games succeed and fail that we're trying
this
to do.
The year they
things.
Announced Firewatch, right?
No, it was after no? Firewatch came okay. out because the thing he said that he realized was a big part of Firewatch succeeding was you can pick up the radio and carry it around with you. You can throw it in the water.
Yep.
You can entertain an audience who is watching you play that game, a game that is fundamentally just about narrative, by doing stuff in the environment. And I don't know if he's right or not, but it's something he observed and something that he was in a position to care about observing. And I think when you think about something like Hitman and its success as a streaming game, you go watch the Giant Bomb streams of that.
Yeah.
There's a performative element to it yeah. that is not in Prey so much unless you're already into Prey. Like I think Danielle, you yeah. watching Prey,
yeah.
you watching a great Prey player, you're going to get a lot out of it. Even me watching a good Prey player or an interesting Prey player, I'm going to get a lot out of it. I played that game already. But like anyone in this room could go watch Vinny Caravella.
Yeah, I don't play Hitman.
Anybody
but
could watch Vinny play anything and have right. a good time.
But I don't play Hitman, but I can watch Hitman
yeah.
and like go along
yeah.
for the ride.
And I think yes. for me, if I have to make a prediction about the genre going forward, it is the performative aspect enabling players to be performers is going to continue to be tuned.
Yeah,
up
maybe
and
the
up
answer
up.
Is like Hitman adjacent. You know, like yeah. part of what Hitman does is in that world.
Well, I think so. Prey and Mooncrash become an interesting case for me because I think where Prey undermines itself, as we've talked about, is there's multiple solutions to everything, but then it gives you all the tools to execute all the solutions all the time. And eventually, like, if you're going to find really novel solutions to Prey, it's mostly because you're just going to be screwing around. You know what I mean? You are now playing suboptimally and going out of your way to, like, find these relationships. Mooncrash does something that I associate maybe a little bit more with what, like, is kind of the core to the experience of at least that first Hitman release where they were parceling them out episodically and you were sort of sucking all the marrow from the level,
yeah.
You know, as you understood it. Mooncrash takes Prey and then keeps remixing these basic challenges. And it's like, okay, so you did this one last time, but you had a bunch of really good tools. Now we're going to take all those really direct, useful tools away from you, and we're gonna give you indirect ones, and you're gonna be weaker. Now can you solve the problem? And I think the performance aspect interacts in some ways with, like, Twitch creates the possibility for performance in the immersive sim. But I also think a really good immersive sim, even if you were playing alone, invites a sense of performance.
Yeah, you're totally
right. And I think Prey was so open-ended in that initial release that eventually it could be kind of an isolated experience because the only person regarding Prey in some ways was you. But if you think about a Dishonored level, every Dishonored level has its thing, its bit, its experience, and there are your solutions to that problem. Mooncrash is a little more literal, where it's, we're just going to slice up Prey and set you these, like, gameplay challenges and puzzles for you to solve. But all of those involve a measure of performance and, like, you know, sort of shooting your cuffs as you approach the table and, all right, how am I going to solve this problem?
I am – so wait, is Dishonored then your favorite immersive sim of the decade?
Dishonored 1, yeah.
Okay. Patrick, how about you?
Nice.
So we've now gotten our favorites from everyone here except for Kato and Patrick. I don't know, Kato, is this a genre for you? Is this
kind of, not really though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played most of those games, but except
Kato's
for Prey.
Glad they're dead.
Wow.
No, it
Kato killed like, them.
Ding dong.
How many copies of Prey did you buy?
Not
none.
Enough. See?
Not
see?
Enough.
Yeah, no pull.
played the demo many times.
Okay. That's actually the most immersive sim thing to do, is to get a demo and play it 70 times.
Yeah,
Liberty Island.
Liberty Island. And that was on the PC Gamer demo disc.
Yep.
And that's, I played that a
That is why that
times.
Song is in my head still.
Yes.
But so are you scrolling a list, Patrick? I can see
I was trying to see if there's anything that it's probably Death of the Outsider.
Yeah.
It's weirdly not either of the Deus Ex revivals as much as I didn't really particularly care for the second one
either.
At all.
Yeah.
And I liked the first one a lot in the moment, but I don't know that I look back on it all that. Like, it was a well-made one of those, but it felt similar to a like Halo 4, which is like, you made one of those. Yeah. Like, you did it. It looks like one of those. It walks like it. It quacks like it. But it didn't, like, Dishonored did, Dishonored, like, thought through, oh, what is this genre and how do we do something different? Deus Ex, both of those were just like, just took those and updated the technology. And that's reductionist. But, like, that was my general impression of it, like, kind of separated from it. So,
yeah.
And it's probably more specifically Death of the Outsider. Like, you know, you could pick any of those, but, like, I liked Death of the Outsider because it was so contained and short and tight. And I loved that character so much and the depth they gave to that character that was why it seemed like it was them acknowledging, like, we really didn't give a whole lot to this character in the mainline series and found a way to funnel that into. To a small, tight arc. And I always admire, this is separate from the immersive sim part of it, but again, like I said, like, it landed its mythology, like, its weird mythology, and, like, found a way to give that an emotional core and a landing that I admire that.
Yeah.
Because endings are hard.
Two series I'm surprised, one game I'm surprised didn't come up, and then one series that I wish had made this move. I wish the Far Cry games had leaned further in this direction. Coming off of Far Cry 2, you could emerge in a decade of Far Cry that, instead of being overwhelmed by Ubisoft open world bloat, is the best immersive sim.
Arguably,
series.
There's any direction but the one they went is the one I would have loved to see Far Cry go in.
Me too. The other game,
the fighting game community version of it. Yeah,
the Far Cry, the FCFGC. Yeah, the game that I'm most surprised hasn't been mentioned by this table because I know two of you are huge defenders. Alien Isolation.
I was gonna. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I think of that as a. I think you're not wrong. Sorry, Danielle. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think of it as immersive sim, but I think of it more of in a horror context, and so I almost don't even, like, it never even came up in my head as, like, oh, that's a possible answer, because I think of that as a scary game.
But, like, it's a system shock.
No, I agree, but I mean, I played that game to be terrified. I guess I was in a different mindset than I normally, like, when I played Alien Isolation, I was not thinking, like, ooh, who are all the different ways I can interact with the system. I was like, fuck this fucking alien, and, like, I need to get out of this kitchen and around the corner.
Yeah.
It's mostly just a mindset thing, and how I played that game, because Isolation was way much less about sitting back and, like, studying the space, because the moment you did that, that alien was going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
So, Danielle.
Yeah, I... similar to that, but also the power thing comes into that, right? So I think Alien Isolation is an immersive sim enemy, and it's almost like the alien has the powers that you would have as the player in an immersive sim.
Wow.
And the
that's
level
good.
Itself, yeah. like that's, the level design also supports that.
Yeah, totally.
But
that makes
you
my,
have very limited tools.
Yes.
It like sparks
also just
my brain. Yeah, I totally did.
That felt good.
That felt good.
I was like, ooh.
Oh! No! And on that note.
What a profound thought
that's
to
a
end
great
on.
Thought.
Like, you couldn't script that
that's,
shit.
That's great. Last, I'm going to break through. Fallout New Vegas. Bye.
When did it come out?
2010.
Oh, shit. Yeah, the Clockwork Mansion was cool. If I even thought that was an option, I would have just said Fallout New Vegas. Yeah. Fuck.
Anyway, we're done. Yep. Thank you, Danielle, so much.
Woo!
For joining us. The
Thank
only
you guys.
We had to have you here to talk about Immersive Sims. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can totally find me at DanielleRI on Twitter. And also, I'm going to plug FanBite.com. Listen to our podcast at FanWith. And also, we do have a movie podcast now. RIP. Be great to rewatch it.
RIP.
But it's finding a little bit of new life, a little
Rob,
bit of new
Rob shove so, the microphone
Rob
away.
Is so mad. Rob is so mad.
Rip,
he's
sorry,
putting
Rob.
His headphone up. He's going to open a beer and we don't even have him in. He's taking his shirt off.
Danielle, just
he's going to put on his murder gloves.
Oh my God.
Rip to be good and rewatch it, but I'm different. What's the name? He's putting on gloves.
His murder gloves. Doesn't he look like Guillermo del Toro in Death Stranding?
A lot. A lot.
Oh, what Jesus. He's actually putting
he's
on
putting
gloves.
On the gloves. Oh,
this
boy.
This is really happening.
Danielle, run.
We're going to hold him back.
We were in a meeting this morning, and I looked over. I sat back down next to Rob, and I went, Rob, are you going to strangle me? And he turns to me. acutely annoyed and goes, why does everyone say that?
Rob is back
Rob
on mic.
Rob was the hitman all along.
Rob was the hitman all along. What is the name of the movie podcast?
So that Rob
I'm
can
very
twitch
sorry.
Again.
It's called You Love to See It.
Rob's acting, putting on gloves, ready to kill someone. You love to see it.
It's a good name.
That's
for a good podcast.
That's very good.
Names are hard.
Names
That's
are
a good
hard.
One.
Names are hard. We have a document. So
documenting our struggles.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you again. Happy holidays to everyone. We'll be back soon with some more podcasts and more guests. So look forward
someone's
to
in
that.
The room.
Someone's in the room. We don't.
Oh, they're blushing.
Aw.
Hello.
Oh. Thank you, Danielle.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a great one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
She said hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Natalie can't hear you.
Hi, it's so good to see you.
She says, hi, it's so good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to see you, too.
It's great to see you, too, she says.
Aw.
Aw.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the play-by-play.
She says, thank you for the play-by-play. That was for me, though, probably.
That was for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, oh my God. This room has never had so many people in it.
Y'all look a little warm in there.
It's a lot right now, Danielle. Yesterday was the worst. I'm so glad I wore a short sleeve shirt today. This was the right call.
Soon the pizza sweats are going to come out.
Oh.
Little Under Armour in there, you know.
Yeah.
This is why we have the beer, right?
That's why. Yep. Cool us down.
Been keeping it chill.
Go put it in the fridge.
I'll go put it in the fridge right now.
Go put it in the fridge.
You guys can start talking.
Is it just going to get stolen?
I'm going to hide it.
It's not going to get stolen in the next hour.
Yeah.
No.
20 minutes.
Put a note on it.
That's because we sent you
to do that. Put it in this tote bag into the fridge. No one will steal it then.
Right. Wait, do we have another? Isn't there another?
Yeah, right?
I've got both. Oh, you got both. Okay.
All right, you guys.
Just put a little bit of like something green or yellow on it, kind of dripping. Nobody will want it, but you know it's innocuous.
Yeah,
you know.
We just keep a banana slug for this very purpose.
That's why.
Exactly. It's just for that purpose.
God.
Are we ready to come back?
Are we coming back without Patrick? Did he say
that's what he said.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Adel just needs a second.
All right.
Good. Recording.
No, now you're good?
Yes.
Okay. Danielle, are you recording?
I sure am, and the waveforms look pretty good.
Awesome. We are just going to do, so just to
we do need a clap up, this time.
We do need a clap. We have, definitely have to do a clap if you want to go to time that is. But also, just as like a heads up, it's going to be a short one. It's like an intro and then 30 minutes of conversation.
We're timed. We have like
we literally have a timer set up.
What's the sound? What's the sound what's effect going to be for this one? Can you get?
What's the best immersive sim sound?
Oh.
Is there like
what about the intro music to Deus Ex? The Deus Ex like the attract like the
Deus Ex, original Deus Ex.
Yeah, the original. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what about like the sound when you voosh?
When you voosh.
The
that's good too.
The warping.
Yeah. Do we have
I'll see if I can find a Dishonored soundboard.
Please try to find a Dishonored.
Yes.
Blink. Yes. Yes.
Maybe.
We're just going to do kind of a broad conversation around what our favorite immersive sims are. Rob, you said you kind of wanted to hit, like, what does an immersive sim mean in 2019?
Yeah.
It's loud.
I brought notes.
Are you just looking at a Dishonored?
Oh, perfect.
Does it make the noise?
I think that might have been the noise.
Yeah.
Okay, but also... Kato, I'm gonna put this in podcast. I just want to hear it. I just want to hear it.
You just been
yeah. I just want to hear this shit.
You're craving that good.
Oh, the main music of Deus Ex is phenomenal.
Good. Yeah, it's good. It is very good.
It is such a jam.
Is that Sheldon Picotti?
I thought it was that.
we got the holiday remix,
a Christmas Daniel. Prince.
I was like, do. I was like, that's not my Deus Ex.
I would listen to that holiday remix.
That'd be good. Someone
Christmas
should do
X,
that.
You know. Christmas,
putting the X back.
Christmas X is a different thing.
Deus, Deus of
it used
Christmas?
To be Deus Christmas, but now we just call it Deus Xmas.
Yeah.
Or Deus Xmas episode.
Mm. Yeah, wait for it to start.
Wait for the drop.
Drums. Those drums hit. It's good. There it is.
That's, so good.
It's good.
Come on.
It's good. God. Deus Ex. When was that from?
This would be
2011.
This, Danielle, if you ever become a wrestler, this is what you come out to.
Oh, that'd be good.
Okay.
A cyberpunk.
Can you put it in the chat?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Here's.
Oh, right. Different chat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
We should,
no,
we should,
no, that's our that's
we should
our
put
fault.
It in the alumni
that's our
chat.
Fault.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All right, you ready to? You pumped up?
We got to clap.
We got
to
clap.
We have to clap.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
You ready to clap at 23 seconds?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, wait.
It did a skip too.
Can you start?
Thank
you. Start this podcast with us waiting for the drop.
Yeah, sure.
Again?
Or I want to hear that. That be the start of the podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Danielle, do you have it pulled up? We should sync this.
Oh yeah.
I have it pulled up.
Where we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Ready?
3, 2, 1, click.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, click.
Okay.
Three, two, one, click.